many other groups, they believed Jesus was a created being, not the Son of God, God the Son. You have great problems with that because it's not what the Scripture presents at all. There is no way you can say the New Testament teaches that Jesus is a created being. It teaches he is the Creator. And the evidence is astounding. How do people come to these conclusions using the same book? They're dishonest. That's how. They don't want it to say what it says. They want it to say what they want it to say. To be able to see something for what it is critical to any craft.
This is Cross Reference Radio with our pastor and teacher, Rick Gaston. Rick is the pastor of Calvary Chapel, Mechanicsville. Don't forget to stay with us after today's message to hear more information about Cross Reference Radio, specifically how you can get a free copy of this teaching. Now, here's Pastor Rick in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 22, verse 18.
I think of the king, Jehoiakim, which is a foreign name to most of us. He was a rotten king, as most of them were. His dad, Josiah, one of the best kings that Israel produced. And that is a lesson to we parents, that because we may be enjoying a walk with the Lord does not mean we can neglect to have our children raised in the ways of the Lord. That it's not automatic. It doesn't just transfer by itself. It's hard work, much prayer. And parents, if you're not praying for your children, you're doing something wrong. Regardless of where their walk is with the Lord, if they're on fire for Christ and you're not praying for your child, you are wrong and you need to fix it. I'll give you a minute. I'll wait. Kidding. And of course, if your child is wayward and you're not praying, again, that needs to be corrected. Well, back to this king, Jehoiakim. He was so just not interested in God's word. In fact, Jeremiah the prophet, who was the prophet in Israel, the primary prophet at this time, was barred from preaching the word at the temple. And so Jeremiah was told by God to write, to compile the words that God had given to him, the prophecies, the previous prophecies he had given to him, even back to the days of Josiah, Jehoiakim's father, and present them to the king. And while Jeremiah was not able to do that because he was banned from the king and the courts and the temple, he had Baruch, his servant, do it. His servant might be a bit received not the way it's intended, but it was his assistant, his attendant, his right-hand man. And so he went, presented the word of God by Jeremiah to the king, and the king listened as the word was read. And we read in Jeremiah 36, and it happened when Jehudah had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. And so he cut it first with a knife, and then he burned it. And this is censorship. I don't want to hear what God has to say. When they got to the part about the judgments that would come upon the people for not listening to God, the king said, I had about enough of that. How many people say that they are Christians and do the very same thing? We understand when unbelievers do it. After all, they're carnal. They're at enmity. They're hostile toward God. But when people who say, I'm a Christian, and they come to a church and they hear about the things from the Word of God that the pastor did not write or create, how quickly do they take their pocket knives out and their little torches and try to destroy God's Word? What happened to that king, incidentally? Part of the prophecies, which they never got to that day, of course, he had it destroyed before then. But God said this particular king, his death and burial would be of such insignificance. It would be like that of a donkey. Well, let's read of it. Jeremiah chapter 22, verse 18. Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah. They shall not lament for him, saying, Alas, my brother, or alas, my sister. They shall not lament for him, saying, Alas, my master, or alas, his glory. He shall be buried with the burial of a donkey, dragged and cast out beyond the gates of Jerusalem. That's fierce. This for the man who destroyed God's word. And so that is the wrath of God. And now we have these, they're nothing. I don't know of another thing to call them. They're false teachers. And they stand in pulpits of large churches And they say things like, well, the Old Testament was mean, mean God, mean, 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 shame on you. But the New Testament are fields of lilies and daisies. We skip through them and we love the good stories of the New Testament. And I ask, what New Testament are they reading? Oh, they're not. Oh, that's how they could make such a statement. Because the wrath of God is in the New Testament and it's not hidden. It's not scarce. It's everywhere. They read the book of Revelation. If the New Testament were as long as the Old Testament, I believe it would be more fierce than the Old Testament. This first chapter of Romans has the wrath of God. And Paul, again, he's just saying, I want to talk to you about salvation. And in the midst of this, we can't talk about salvation unless we also mention what you're being saved from. Who is it that gets saved and who is it that is not? In the second chapter, he will talk about judgment. And so we have to consider some things. We left off in the 24th verse last week and remind ourselves that God cannot save those who are willfully and persistent with their dishonesty toward God. If you're going to lie to God and yourself, which is, if you lie to God, you're lying to yourself. You're being dishonest. There's nothing he can do with that person. It is a fundamental of salvation. Repentance is a person being honest. Cain was not honest with God. Abel was extremely honest. He says, I cannot come to you. There's no approach to you without blood, without saying, I caused death. I destroyed, I have done violence to the relationship we had, to your will, your word, your commandments, and to the animals that were killed to cover my newfound nakedness. Cain, on the other hand, pretended with God, woohoo, look at my basket of fruit. I'm really not that bad of a guy. I'm a hardworking farmer, and you need to receive this. I give you your due, but you got to also give me a little something back. And of course, Cain was rebuked by God and angry. And you know, wisdom is justified by her children, but so are rebukes. When the child is rebuked and insists on not being corrected, there's going to be trouble. Cain, of course, went out in the extreme trouble in this case and killed his brother. And so in the 24th verse, where Paul continues after saying these guys are professing to be wise, but they're not fooled. And incidentally, philosophy saves no one from hell. So philosophy does not change a person's soul and life, does not cause a born again event in an individual. In verse 24, Paul says, therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves. He says, fine, God's guy, you get what you want. You want to be in a place where I am not? Fine, here you go. And so he gives them up, quite strong language. He had been saying this through the prophets to Israel. Now, the lesson is that if God was saying these things to people who were called to be his people, how much greater is it against those who insist that he goes away? So he says, I'm going to tell you how I treat those who claim to be righteous when they behave as rebels, still insisting upon the salvation. It's stealing. It's like taking something that you've not paid for, taking something that does not belong to you. And so in Hosea, and I pause here, Hosea, you know, the prophet that spoke from his heart, that tried to say, listen, Israel, you are an unfaithful spouse. You are doing your maker wrong. And so as I stand here this morning and we're going to talk about the wrath of God, I'm trying to keep the tone accurate or consistent with the revelation of the heart of God. God is dedicated to saving the lost in this lifetime. But after this lifetime, if they have rejected him, there's no salvation for them. So Hosea chapter 9, verse 10, the prophet writes, God speaking through him, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. Very satisfying, very pleasant discovery. You know, if you ever go on a walking trail, you find raspberries growing wild. It's like, oh, that's nice. And I saw your fathers as the first fruits of the fig tree in its first season. Quite refreshing when winter goes and you begin to see things grow and the fruit produced. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves to that shame. They became an abomination like the thing they loved. This still goes on today. Nothing new under the sun. Man is not changed unless he is changed by God. At least he's not changed for good, because Satan also changes individuals. And we'll get to that momentarily. Isaiah 66, verse 4. So will I choose their delusions, God says, and bring their fears on them, because when I called, no one answered. When I spoke, they did not hear, but they did evil before my eyes, and chose that in which I do not delight. And these are the reasons why God's wrath comes upon human beings. It's personal with him. God reaches a point where he says, I've had it. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19. Hear, O earth, behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. And so we come back to the New Testament, and that's what Paul is writing about, these very things. He says, therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness, just as with Israel, when they kept pushing God away. Without divine protection, sinful lusts will morph into a violent lust, an uncontrollable lust. This is the danger. It doesn't happen with every single person, but it happens with enough of them. But every single person without God who rejects God ultimately suffers forever. And so these lusts that he's talking about are inordinate lusts. They run deeper than our common lust. Quickly look down at verse 26 of Romans 1. It says, for this reason God gave them up, now here it comes, to vile passions. Not just passions. Again, these are supersized evils. It just starts out with a little bit wrong, and then it continues off course until finally it is shipwrecked. And so back up to verse 24, we'll read it right into verse 25. Therefore God also gave them up to uncleanness in the lust of their hearts, to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worship and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. From the bottom of verse 25 going upward, Paul saying this just sort of ejaculatory. It just comes right out. It's like God is blessed. These guys might be that way, but God is this way. He is good and he is blessed forever. Amen. In the midst of that, the Spirit sort of captures him. What is the church? What is the church supposed to be? Ooh, 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 I got it. Social club. Ooh, a place where I can do all the things that I've always wanted to do. It's a place where I can do my craft and do this. And everyone has got this feeling about what the church is supposed to be, while all the time saying, I'm really not interested in what God says the church should be. I need to be meaningful. I need to express myself. Unfortunately, and all Christians don't do this. They have never always done this. But there are those that do. Timothy was told by Paul that he was on his way to Ephesus, where Timothy was pastoring. And he says, when I get there, there's a lot of things to do, but if I am delayed, if I don't get there on time, Timothy, you make sure you're doing this as pastor. Make sure you understand what the church is and that the congregation gets it too. And so he says this in 1 Timothy in chapter 3, in verse 15. He says, but if I'm delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, the definite article, the truth. And Paul, writing to the Romans, the church that is in Rome, has all of this in mind when he's speaking about what the church must be if it's going to fight what the world is, the world apart from God. And so moving up in verse 25 again, he says, who exchanged the truth of God. Well, the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. We read earlier in verse 18 of Romans 1, for wrath, the wrath of God, is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness, ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. And they suppress it in pulpits also. Again, we don't go to the Old Testament. It's mean. We say in the New Testament, you are suppressing the truth with such nonsense. What God do you serve? Are you still a Christian? How can you divide the Word of God like that when the Word of God is Christ Jesus? When you divide Christ Jesus, he bleeds. He suffers. And so, these exchanged the truth. They got gypped. Talk about buyer's remorse. Ooh, okay, I'll take it. Here, I'll swap you this for some dumb lie. This is what Hosea was saying. They go to Baal and they've turned God. They've rejected from God. They don't want him. They exchanged the truth for some man-made junk, for a lie. It tells us, in verse 25, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie. What is the lie? Again, the definite article. Anything that comes out of hell. Anything about God that originates anywhere other than with God. And they worship and serve the creature. The thing man made, the thing devil made, doesn't matter. It's made by a created being. Do you know the Unitarians, the deists, the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, the Moonies? I don't know if we hear about the Moonies anymore. That can have a double meaning nowadays. But anyway, the many other groups, they believe Jesus was a created being, not the Son of God, God the Son. You have great problems with that because it's not what the Scripture presents at all. There is no way you can say the New Testament teaches that Jesus is a created being. It teaches he is the Creator. And the evidence is astounding. How do people come to these conclusions using the same book? They're dishonest. That's how. They don't want it to say what it says. They want it to say what they want it to say. To be able to see something for what it is critical to any craft. Otherwise, it's a delusion. It's a mirage. It's something that's not there. And it's hard for us to, even when we budget our monthly budget for our homes, we must see what is there. Because if you start having, if you just make a little T account for yourself, and you're spending more than you're taking in, big problem. But if you continue to do that, it's delusional. You have to look at what's there. Okay, that point's made. It's moving forward, verse 26. For this reason, see, there again, we covered a lot of this last week. We referenced Ezekiel 14 last week, where God said he has done nothing without a reason. No one will find themselves in hell by accident. How'd you get here? Somebody messed with the sign. It's deliberate and is willful. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. Verse 26, I'm just going to continue on here. For even their women exchanged the natural use of what is against nature. Well, man started out a worshiping being and has descended to being merely a philosopher. And in this philosophy, he has decided he's going to say what God is about. And after that, he begins to take this trip downward to where he is not only worshiping animals and insects, that he begins to behave as one himself. Psalm 115, verses 3 through 8, make a note to yourself, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases, a fundamental attribute about God. He could not be God if that were not so. If he weren't that way, he is a fake God. Their idols, and he's making a contrast between the idols, the man-made gods, and the God of creation. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell, although they might stink. I threw that in. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. No noises coming out of them. And then listen to this. Here's the punchline. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts in them. And so we come back to Romans chapter 1, and we find the people that have made up gods for themselves are now becoming like the gods they've made. They made beasts to worship, and so they are behaving as beasts. They worship creeping things. They start behaving as though they are creeps themselves. And so this is what Paul is saying in verse 26, that the women have exchanged the natural use against nature, against how God made them. Not Mother Nature, as the pagans will teach. Paganism is the worship of the earth, of created things, while disregarding the Creator. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Continuing on in verse 27, likewise also the men. Now, it is very uncomfortable to stay on this section, so we're going to try to make our points without dwelling on them. Leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust for one another. Now, again, this is this twisted lust. This is not only the passion to have something that the flesh craves. This is a twisted passion, and it is burning like fire within them. And it says, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Do you know, back in the 80s, when AIDS was first being announced, it was called GRIDS, gay-related immune deficiency. But of course, men suppressing the truth had to cover that up because it offended them. You know, Christian, if you're going to preach the gospel, one rule is you cannot care who gets offended at the message, though you must not be offensive willfully. You're trying to be offensive. I'm going to try to get that guy bothered. But the gospel is a fierce thing. It is a sword. And a sword means business. I mean, even if you hit the guy with the hilt, it's going to hurt. The handle, anything, it's a fierce thing. And so you cannot downsize it. You cannot reduce it. It is what it is, and don't apologize for that. Paul here saying the men also. This, of course, is what we know to be homosexuality. Or worse, you know, there's another level, and I'm not going to even mention it. It's prohibited in the book of Leviticus quite clearly. Now, if as a Christian you claim that this particular sin is excused, then you also have to excuse every other sexual sin. You have to also then say adultery is okay, and fornication is okay, as physical relationships outside of marriage. But you can't do that without violating the word, without taking away from it. And I only point this out because there are those doofuses, and that is the Greek word. That are in Christianity. They claim to be Christians. I don't know that they are. But they insist that these things aren't sins in the Bible. Now, you either have to be sinister and vile right out of hell, or a doofus. I don't know of another category to have such a position. Well, that's harsh. Now you're getting the point. I'd rather be harsh with the truth while they still have a chance than to tiptoe around these sins that are ruining the church, ruining society, ruining the world. Well, you know, from a Christian perspective, the opportunities to reach those in the world, because we are not here to change the world. This is not dominion theology, where we're trying to take the kingdom for God so he can come back. We do not believe that. I don't believe that. What we believe at Calvary's is that we are saving those within the world who can be saved, who want to be saved. Christ will come back when he's good and ready. And he will first come back for his church, then he will come back with his church. And in both cases, it's going to be bad news for a lot of folks, and will be good news for others. And so Paul has itemized these things. I'm not going to make references and dwell on this section because it sort of speaks for itself. He will go into deeper detail with this, or not deeper, but take another twist of it when he gets to the Corinthian letter, which actually mirrors the Roman letter in many ways. Paul is saying, he's saying it more practically when he speaks to the church at Corinth. Here he's saying it more theologically, and both of them are good and necessary. Oftentimes when you find someone siding with a sin in the Bible against God, they're guilty of something, and they want to cover up their guilt by sort of being merciful to someone else's guilt. A man who is merciful to his own lust is doing himself harm. You cannot be kind to the things about you that are wrong. They are not going to cooperate. And so we move forward, verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, this goes back to the suppression of the truth. This goes back to the exchanging of the truth for a lie, because the truth is a great separator. If you have friends and they don't love the Lord like you do, with the passage of time, you should lose them as friends. It will be a natural process. You won't have to do anything but be a Christian. The two cannot walk together on these things unless they are agreed. Oh, they may still be friendly. You still may get a card from them once a year. I'm contemplating sending out cards in like March just to throw everybody off. So I got a card. It's just the wise men can. Anyway, coming back to what we're talking about, truth is a great separator. It is throughout the scripture. Jesus, he never let anyone feel comfortable with sin. He forgave sinners.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today. You've been listening to Cross Reference Radio, the teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Gaston of Calvary Chapel in Mechanicsville, Virginia. As you likely gathered, we are currently studying the book of Romans here on Cross Reference Radio. To learn more about Cross Reference Radio, visit our website at crossreferenceradio.com. You can download today's teaching or subscribe to the Cross Reference Radio podcast. Subscribing is easy. Just search for Cross Reference Radio in iTunes. We encourage you to place a marker in your Bibles and join us next time, same time, same place, for the next edition of Cross Reference Radio.